welcome back to Dating Games, a modern relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and this week's guest is a brilliant comedian, podcaster, and presenter who is often described as a ray of sunshine. Please welcome Josh Jones.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to sing. Yeah, I was about to interrupt you at the beginning because I was... Do you ever accidentally just start singing sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got a song in your head. And I've just been listening to the... Do you know that? Suddenly Seymour. Do you know that musical?
I'm obsessed with Little Shop of Horrors. Yes.
But I've never seen it, but I have... What's it called? I've listened to the full soundtrack. And I was just had that Little Shop of Horrors in my head.
I think it's a perfect musical. I really do.
I need to see it live.
And part of why it's perfect is because the plot doesn't make any sense.
No, yeah, that's great.
So, like, if you've listened to all the songs, you already know as much as you can do about how it works
out. Oh, fab.
There you go.
Yeah.
But no, I do know what you mean. I have it in my household. Me and my flatmate sing to ourselves all the time. And occasionally, we'll just, like, walk into the same room and be singing the same song. And then there's the question of, is this subconscious? Is it a coincidence? Or are we harmonising from the other end of the flat?
My housemate is a musician, so everything is quite music-orientated. Like, I don't know if you can see, there's like a big vinyl player mm-hmm. there. And then all the records are over there.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's very music. I have no musical talent, which I'm fuming about. But he has quite a lot. He can play multiple instruments.
I'm the same. I'm kind of leaning into that at this point, though, where I just think, you know what? Nobody expects it. I'm just going to always put in the disclaimer that I can't sing, but I do enjoy it. So, yeah, if I ever am at anyone's house and I take a shower there, you will hear me sing. It's not optional.
Yeah, I love singing in the shower. I used to date a guy who thought that was weird, but I think showering with no music is quite sinister.
Yes, it's some horror movie shit to just be in there silently scrubbing away.
Silent.
No,
just listening
I have to
to
have
the
music.
Water hitting your body. I think, what's he thinking in there? It's wild.
Anyway, before we make this into a music podcast, talk to me all good. Talk to me about dating. So you're single at the moment?
Yes, I am.
How's that going?
It's all right. I've just turned 30. And I'm from Manchester, but I live in London. So I'm walking about in the big city, single and 30, and I feel like Bridget Jones. Do you know what it is for me? It's, I meet a guy and I'm like, oh my God, he's the one. And then 3 weeks later, I'm like, oh, I'm bored. Like, it's more I'm the problem, and I know that about myself.
You know, you're owning it, and I think that's half the battle.
So I'm trying to, like, now, next time I get in a relationship. Well, actually, my mum said that her sidekick told her that my next relationship is going to be the guy that I marry and have kids with.
Wow.
And I don't want my mum to be right about sidekicks, but I actually also really want this to be true. So I'm kind of stuck in a dilemma a bit.
And that doesn't feel like pressure to be like, but what if they're awful?
I dated someone recently and I thought that I think I kind of was like, do you know when you want it to work out, but you know it's not the right person?
Mm-hmm.
So I did a bit of that recently. But now I'm trying to just enjoy being single, not rush into anything. I'm saying this, next week I've got 3 dates booked in with 3 different blokes. So, you know, there we go. But I'm trying to not rush it. I'm just trying to enjoy my life a bit.
I love that paradox. Yeah, I'm just being really casual, enjoying my singledom, but I do need a date on Monday, Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of happened. I've not had a date for a while, and then I went on the apps, and now all of a sudden I've got 3, and I'm like, oh God, that's so much admin. So I'm not going to speak to anyone new until I've done these 3 dates, just because, like, you know.
Yeah.
The apps and stuff as well. Like, I'm a busy boy. I'm working a lot, so it's hard trying to do that and then speak to someone, ask them about their life. You're like, fuck, you know, can get a bit monotonous, can't it? Jesus Christ.
So yeah. I lose enough time to Instagram. I don't need to then have like more than 3 conversations going with people I may or may not ever meet in person.
Yeah. That's a really sad sentence.
And I think the worst thing about it is it's not even like a hopeless romantic thing. I've worked on like being very confident and outgoing. So for me, I just want to like hurry up and meet this person because I think it's all like made up when you're in the texting phase. Like it may not even be them messaging you. They may be completely different over message. You can't tell anything.
Oh yeah, when you match with someone on Tinder or Hinge or whatever, I like to arrange a date like as soon as possible. Yeah. I don't want to waste my time texting.
Exactly. And I also do this thing where once we've got something, then I don't really want to talk to them until I meet them. Yeah. It's all working up to arranging a date. And then it's like, well, I'll talk to them when I see them. And some people find that strange.
Like, I'm finding it quite weird now because obviously I'm not like famous, but I have a little cult following and loads of my followers are gay men. So a lot of times when I match with someone, they already know who I am. And that's a bit weird because you feel like you're on the back foot. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's it. They know more about you. Like, I don't tell anyone about this podcast on a first date because then they could go and find out all kinds of things about me. And then I won't know what I've told them and what they've gone and listened to.
Oh, yeah. It's weird when they've listened to my podcast as well because I've talked about how much I like bumming and all that sort of stuff. And it's all like I'm very open about everything. So, yeah, it is a bit wild. I went on a date with someone and he knew who I was, which was fine, but he didn't tell me until like the third date, which I thought was quite creepy.
I find that sinister. Yeah. They're doing it on purpose. Like that must be like burning away in your brain, wanting to like mention your comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not for me. The thing is, though, what I do know about your comedy is there is a certain amount of advertising, as I would describe it, sprinkled in there. Is that fair to say when you're talking about things you like?
Do you think so? Like,
yeah, I saw you perform a few years ago at the Edinburgh Fringe, and there was definitely a bit about how good you are at sucking dick. And I think you even then added a joke to it, which I wasn't sure whether it was like improv or not, about like it pays to advertise.
Oh, that must have just been that night. I've never purposely said that. I might have slipped out now and then.
The truth came out.
Yeah, I did have a routine about being able to deep throat. So yeah, I guess that's that. Is that advertising? I don't know. It's you know, when you've got a special skill, brag about it. I did speak about that, and in the last show, I did have a whole bit about anal, so people know that I'm willing to take a dick. So it could be advertising, but also
you're just going redder and redder.
Well, I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because I found it quite funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm teasing you. Yeah. And, you know, the catch of that, obviously, is then you meet somebody and they, like, project the narrow view of you they have from, like, seeing your work. And so, you know, there can be that assumption of, like, you know, my version of that is, like, I talk about being a hopeless romantic at times. And so people then assume, oh, that means if I'm on a date with you, that's the experience I'm getting. I'm like, the autonomy of me is removed because they're like, if they've consumed my content first, they've already decided what a relationship with me will be like, forgetting that I have to decide to have that relationship.
Yeah, 100%. And it's more just, you know, loads about you, so it's kind of not even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to know as much about them.
Yeah, true. And so you were saying you have a lot of possible dating stories to tell me. Have you thought of which one?
Well, I don't know what sort of theme you want. Like a sex one or a non-sex one. Or like, I've had a lot of dates and I could do a few. What sort of story do you want?
Let's hear the angry person because that's an option that intrigues me.
Yes. So I went on, this was in the last like 12 months. I went on a date. So it was a first date and I was gigging and he worked, I won't say which one, but he worked in the wardrobe department of a West End show, right? Mm-hmm. So we both finished quite late. So I think we was meeting at like 10 o'clock in like Leicester Square in London. And I said, right, well, so we arranged to meet and then I was stood there waiting for him. And I thought, is that him? And he was like walking towards me and I realised it was him and he already looked, he looked so angry and he was like walking towards me very like, oh, and he was smoking and he like flicked his cigarette and I was like, wow, this guy is in a bad mood. And I was like, hi, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I've just had an awful night at work. And I was like, oh, God. And then I was like, oh, I think there's a bar open up there. Do you want to go there? And he was like, no, we're not going there. We're going to this bar instead. And I was like, all right, fucking hell. So then we went to the Alchemist. It's like a 5-minute walk. And while we was walking there, he was just talking about how bad his day's been and everyone's been annoying him, which I think negativity on a first date is just a red flag for me, like straight away. Mm-hmm. So then he was just moaning. Then we went to the bar and he said this, he went, you sit down, I'll order the drinks. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, all right. He was bossing me about, but not in like the sexy way, in like the shut up dickhead way. Do you know what I mean? There's a bit of a difference. So he's bossing
me
around.
Well, it already sounds like you're being treated as an inconvenience, which would make me want to run out of there.
Yeah. So then he went and ordered drinks, but he came back about, honestly, it was less than 5 minutes. It might have been like 3-4 minutes. Bear in mind, we was at a bar in central London. And it's like a cocktail bar as well. Mm-hmm. So he came to me and he was like, oh, they're taking too long. Let's go somewhere else. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And he was like, don't you hate it when they just take too long? And I'm like, it doesn't really bother me. Like, it's a busy bar. I don't know what you was expecting. So then I was putting my coat on and I had buttons and I was like fastening my buttons and he looked at me like, you ready? Because I was taking too long fastening my coat up. And I was like, wow, this man is crazy. And then when we was walking to another bar, I just said, do you know what? Maybe let's do a different night. You seem like you're in a bit of a bad mood. And he was like, no, I'm not in a bad mood. I'm in a fine mood. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he said, like joking, he like giggled. He was like, oh, unless that was like your get out card. And I just went, do you know what it was? I think you've been a bit rude, so I'm going to go. So we didn't even have a drink. And I just like shut it down.
I love this story. That is not how I expected it to go. Good for you. Because if there's one thing that is a common part of so many of the stories I hear, it's like you can sit there and count how many times like that person should have gone. And you just took one of them.
Well, in the past, I would have, I think if it was like 3-4 years ago, I would have just like spitted it out so it wasn't awkward. But when he said, unless that was you get out, I said no. And then a second later, I thought, oh, just to be honest. And I just said, actually, yeah, it was. I think you've been a bit rude. And then he was like, oh. And then we just walked different ways.
I love it. I think you're out there teaching people. Did you ever hear from him again?
No.
Too embarrassed. No. Quite right.
Yeah.
What an idiot. But no, that sounds very stressful. The moving location would even throw me. Maybe it's just my personality type. I like to arrive first. I like to get a seat. I like to settle into a place before they even get there. The idea of then like 5 minutes in being like, no, we're going to wander and find somewhere else in central London where God knows where's going to have space.
Yeah.
No.
It was weird. Yeah, there was a lot of red flags. So that was the angry man.
What a guy.
And I do kind of hope that he took that and was like, realised a day later, oh, maybe I was in the wrong a bit. Probably not. He's probably being angry to someone else right now.
Maybe he's telling the story about you right now.
Yeah.
He's off on another podcast.
I imagine his side of the story, I can't even imagine what it'll be.
You were just added to the list of annoyances of that day, no doubt. But I think there is something to acknowledging the mood you come into. I think that can be helpful if you're like, oh, I've had a bit of a stressful day, but, you know, I'm glad we're doing this. Like, just to get it out of your brain so it's not just buzzing away like I've had a bad day. But I think that's where you've got to chop it. You can't start a date off with a rant about work.
No, you can't. You've just got to go in quite neutral.
Yeah. And fun fact, one of the most common ways therapy starts if you're a man is ranting about work. So I would say for your therapist, not for your potential partner, not for Josh.
Yeah, no, it was wild. And not that it's all about looks, because it's not, but his photos were quite generous, I'll say.
Here we're finding out the other reasons why you stood up to him.
No, but it's not about looks. It's not just about that. But like, Do you know what I mean?
You brought it
up. If you're punching, at least be grateful. That's all I'm going to say about it. I really want to go on black speed dating.
I would love to. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep trying to book it in, but every time I try to book it in, I'm gigging. And I'm like, oh, I really want to go to one.
I think it would be fun. And I think you have the confidence for it. Definitely. But tell me, like, do you get that thing where you find yourself performing on dates?
Not really. Not anymore. I feel like when I first started dating, because I don't really get nervous for dates anymore. I'm like, if they don't like me, they don't not like me. And I don't really give a shit, to be honest. It's not meant to be. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't really take it personally. When I first started dating, I didn't like it. Because I've been dating guys for, you know, a decade. And when I first started it, I was a bit like... But I feel like it was a bit more common then. Men would be very upfront of like, oh, I don't like your voice. I used to get quite a lot of stuff about having a camp voice. Do you know what I mean? But like, oh, and that's fine. If someone doesn't like the sound of my voice, then they shouldn't be with me. Do you know what I mean?
But I love your voice.
Oh, thank you.
No, but it's so endearing. Like, I love the way you'll like greet an audience and you'll just get it out of the way and be like, hello, as loud as you can.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. But I think, obviously, some people don't find it attractive. A lot of people, there's a lot of, as with gay men, there's a lot of, like...
internalised homophobia.
I don't know if it's as much now. Yeah, a lot of that. And I don't know if it doesn't happen as much now or if it's because I'm older and I'm dating older men that they've kind of got the shit figured out a bit more. But when I was in my early 20s, dating guys in their early 20s, there was a lot of, like, oh, like I like more masculine men, which is fine. Everyone's got a preference. But I kind of got me down for a bit. I had quite a few dates of just being like, you're great, but I don't like your voice. And they were very upfront about it. So then I would get paranoid going into dates, being like, oh, they're going to hate me because I'm too camp or whatever. But now I'm like, I'm just so nice. And also I'm like, I'm so confident in the fact that, like, yeah, I've got a very camp voice, but I'm a nice person and I'm a funny person, and like if they can't get on with me, then that's kind of got nothing to do with me.
Yeah, and I hear you on the preference thing, but also I'm always a bit suspicious when like a lot of people's preferences seem to go in the same direction, right? Where I'm like, is this a coincidence or is this a bigger societal problem? And like the concept of gay voice is very strange to me. It's as much how somebody speaks. And it's like, maybe they're just not ashamed of being excitable and expressing themselves, and you are, you know?
And it's also just a way that, like, I've been called out and, like, had people say stuff about my voice since I was about 7. Like, pre-puberty, I've had a silly voice. So it's just kind of always been part of my life. So now I'm 30, it doesn't bother me at all. But when I was in my early 20s, I did used to get really like paranoid about it.
Yeah. And now you're just like, come on, new material. I've heard all of these.
Yeah. Now I'm just like, oh, fuck it. And if someone is like, oh, the voice, then I'm like, oh, great, whatever. Yeah, not asked. I remember Googling about gay voice and I saw like questions on, I don't know if it was Reddit or whatever, but someone asked, do gay men have gay sounding voices to like give out like a siren to like other gay guys? I was like, with some sort of species of whale giving like ultrasound, sort of giving dick sirens, which I thought was quite amusing. The last relationship I had was the first time I've ever been broken up with, and it's not been mutual or me doing it. Mm-hmm. So the last time I did a little bit like him more than me, but most of it has been me. Not, I don't know. I just find that some people don't interest me that much, which is really mean to say, but yeah.
There can be a lot of boring people out there. And I think, you know, when you're in the comedy world as well, you're used to people that at least kind of verbally are very entertaining. You know,
yeah,
they don't always have the biggest world behind the eyes. However, they can go back and forth. And that's a good start.
Yeah, like it's mad because a lot of my, well, 95% of my friends are professional comedians. So obviously I'm not expecting someone to be able to be a professional comedian. But, right, I think in straight relationships, a lot of, not everyone, oh God, I feel like this might be generalised.
Go on, do talk for the straights. Let's hear it.
But I feel like from observing, it's like, oh, women are like looking for like a funny man. And then like men are looking for someone to laugh at the jokes a little bit, which is obviously not all people, but you do see that. Like, and a lot of my straight male friends, I don't know if they would want someone funnier than them.
Mm-hmm.
But I want someone funnier than me. Ooh. Do you know what I mean? That's why a lot of my female friends in stand-up are single, because it's like a common thing that a lot of the men they date get a bit annoyed dating a woman who's funnier than them. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. I've heard a lot of that. And, you know, supposedly it's, you know, the kind of, I guess, biological essentialism theory on it would be that it's a sign of intelligence. And intelligence could imply good genes. And therefore, if we're to believe that people are that driven by their biology and then, you know, a need to reproduce, that's supposedly the explanation, that it's a sign that the man is intelligent and good breeding stock. For me, a lot of it is socialization.
Yeah.
That men are celebrated more for humor than women are. And they are more celebrated for, you know, the intelligence that that might imply, I think, in a, you know, still sexist world. So, no, that's definitely something I hear a lot, that just, you know, even getting approached after gigs, the men I interview have endless stories about it, particularly the straight ones. The women do
not. Yeah, 100%.
So how far would this go with you? Would you date another stand-up?
I don't know about a stand-up.
So they can be funny at home and you can pilfer their best material, but they can't be in competition?
I'm not asked about competition. I'm not asked about that. It's more, I just don't ever want to date a comedian. But I would date someone in the industry, like a TV producer or like a cameraman or whatever, or like people who book gigs or whatever like that. But I don't know if I'd ever date a comedian. But that's more just because I know too much about them. And yeah, it's a bit of a handful dating a comedian.
Fair. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, like two artists in any form can be a lot. And, you know, I think potentially if you're going down that route, like maybe being in separate industries is a way to not like compound very similar stress and problems.
Yeah, 100%. But I want to date someone who likes the job, or someone who, like, yeah, they've got a job that they really like. I don't care what the job is, but I think it's really sexy when someone really enjoys what they do.
Oh, I agree. I think that's essential. And it turns out I can get passionate about any job if I care about the person who's doing it and they care about it.
Oh, yeah. If they love it, then they love it. Who cares what it is? I dated someone who was in a barber's shop quartet for a while. Thought that was quite sexy with the little dicky bows.
I love that. How ridiculous.
Yeah. Dated that. I've dated a birthday clown. I've dated a lot of people. Oh my God, I do have a great story, actually.
Okay, let's hear it.
Right. So I went on a date with a puppeteer, right? But they were, do you know, they're stringed puppets?
Uh-huh.
So I went on a date with him, and he was, the date was quite weird. And he kept doing, like, mouth puppetry. Do you know when you, like, speak with your hands? So you move your hands to make it look like a mouth, and you do a little, like, doing that. And I was like, okay, he's a bit eccentric, but that's fun. Okay, cool. And then he was telling me about how he had his own flat, but he got kicked out of his flat because he lost a load of money because he was spending all of his money on these expensive puppets that some of them cost like 10 grand and he's just got like this collection. So then he's moved into his parents' garage. So then he was showing me pictures of the garage and there was just like puppets dangling all over the garage. And then he was like, oh, this is what I'm doing. And he just kept showing me pictures of the garage. And then he put like condom machines on the wall. And he put a tampon machine on the wall in his bedroom. Well, it's in the garage, but he lives in it. And he's replacing the tampons with, like, cigars. Oh, but he was actually really, really fit. So there was a bit in my mind, like, shall I fuck him? But then I didn't, because I was like, no, I'll die in the garage. I'll get murdered.
He has a murder room.
Yeah.
And he's so confident about it. It's right next to his parents' house.
But he had the best eyes. I'm not even joking. Like, from the nose to the forehead.
He probably stole them from someone.
Yeah, probably. But he really looked like Bradley Cooper, like, from the lip.
Just in the really specific
did. Yeah, like, this bit, like, the eyes and the nose were really Bradley Cooper. He was actually really fit. And I do know that if that was a couple of years ago, I would have just shagged him anyway. But
I think we might need to check on the whereabouts of Bradley Cooper.
check he's okay. Well, that was quite a weird day. And the angry man and the puppet guy was in the space of like 2 weeks.
Wow, you must have felt cursed.
Yeah, but then I had that day and then the puppy guy, and then the week later I went on a date with a guy who then I dated for 5-6 months. So it kind of balanced out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a fun way of looking at it. That's something that people do in like in sales, like particularly like really kind of hard sell, like cold calling, that there's this theory that you can like work out the average time it takes to make a sale. And then you start ticking off all the no's. So let's say like 50 people have to say no to you for every sale. Then it's a way to like make it seem less soul destroying. So
okay,
there we go. I think we found the dating equivalent, but we just need to figure out like how many awful dates before one that's okay.
Yeah, I've dated a lot. I've had a lot of first dates. I quite enjoy them. I used to set it up. So I would have basically a first date every night I wasn't gigging, basically.
Wow, serial dater.
Yeah, I was a serial dater.
And tell me this, because I'm dying to know, because I've a few friends that are like that, and I don't think they're being honest with me. How much time on the apps does that require?
Me, none. Not much. Because I'll match with someone and then I'll just arrange a date. I don't chat that much, really.
I love that. See, efficiency.
Yeah, I like to get shit done and just get it done. Yeah.
I guess it's like treating it like your gigs. You just like schedule them in.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of admin, isn't it, really?
Because you don't know that person. They're a stranger.
No. So you can chat. And I've made the mistake of speaking to someone for ages before. And then like when you do go on the date, you kind of rush it. Like, because you know too much about each other. I do think we should pretend it's like the olden days where there was no apps and you like the first date is your first interaction. It should be as much as possible, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's increasingly a lot of people kind of looking to reframe even how we talk about the apps as like rather than dating apps, they're introduction apps, which I really agree with because, there's only so much dating you can do. On that, like it's not even what you usually message somebody on.
Well, it's different as well. Like, I think because I'm a guy, it's a bit different. Like, my friends who are female, I know that they don't want to rush on because they don't want to just meet a strange guy. Like, my friend, she's bisexual, and she was telling me at the moment she's only really going on dates with women because she doesn't want to just meet a random guy off Tinder because it just feels quite dangerous, which I completely understand.
And have you ever had situations where you've felt unsafe on a date?
No, not really. Over the last year or so, I have got quite good at getting out of dates quick if I don't want to be there.
Okay. Are there any go-to strategies?
So I'll just have a drink and I'll just be like, it was really nice to meet you, but I just can't really see it's going anywhere and I don't really want to like waste your time or anything. And it sounds brutal, but it's... Do you know what I mean? You're going to do that later on in the day anyway, so you might as well.
Yeah, get it over with rather than lead them on. I think that's fair. And also, like, I think there's a lot to be said for putting it that way. Like, I don't want to waste your time. Like, put it on them versus I'm wasting my time.
No, but it is true. Like,
I need to get out.
But I don't want to... Like, my housemate was laughing a couple of months ago. I went on a date and then... I was literally out in an hour and a half and I rang him and I was like, do you want to go cinema to my housemate? Because I was like, the date was done.
Yeah.
And I think you can sense it when someone's not that into you as well.
I am bad at sensing it.
Oh, are you?
Well, I think it's that I don't believe people like me in the first place. So unless I have like some kind of concrete evidence, then I just, everyone is in that. But then I know that can't be true for everyone because people are agreeing to go on dates with me. And so I'm just completely in the dark. Oh, yeah.
I think that's definitely something in your head.
I'm definitely that person that gets to the end and I'm like, we should do this again.
Yeah. Oh, no, but everybody says it like that because you don't want to be like, we should do this again. And they're like, no. So I think everyone says it with a question mark, even if they are a bit confident.
Maybe that's the ultimate, like, efficient get-out strategy. They ask you out again and you just say, no, nah.
Yeah.
No. And they just walk away.
Yeah.
There ain't no way they're going to message you again after that.
No. But the thing is as well, I would rather go on a first date and it, like, I'm trying to trust my instincts a bit more. So a lot of my first dates aren't lasting as long. Like, I'm not doing as many second dates as I used to because I'd rather end it on a first date than date someone for, like, 2 months and then them get a bit invested and then end up getting a hurt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think there can be, you know, a lot of the pressures around dating and, you know, certain insecurities we have that can really muddy our instincts. I know for me, like, kind of rounding up on people has been a real theme where I sort of am like giving people the benefit of the doubt and being like, oh, well, I think if I ignore that and that and I kind of focus on how good that trait could be, then maybe they get a second date. And I'm like, that is flawed maths.
Yeah.
Why am I rounding up their grades?
No, you shouldn't. You should just be honest.
Yeah. But sometimes with the effort of like organizing the dates, you then feel like the need to kind of get something out of it. And it's like, that's not, that is not guaranteed. We can't make that happen.
Yeah, but you get something out of a bad date, really.
Yeah.
Like, I've been on dates with people and I'm like, all right, well, I know I'm not looking for that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's like certain red flags that I didn't know was red flags. Like, I went on a first date with someone literally last week or the week before and there was something that happened that now I'm like, oh, actually, I think that's a bit of a red flag, but I didn't know it was until it happened.
Do you want to tell me what it was?
Yeah, it wasn't even that big, really. It was more, so we messaged on the apps and
all seven
he was
of them.
Like, yeah, and he was like, do you want to sort out a date? And we arranged, and he mentioned the bar. And I was like, oh, I know that bar. I know the name of it. And then when I got there, I was like, oh, now I know this bar. And I've done a gig in it. It's a private members club.
Okay.
So you have to like, so I've done a show there and basically everyone who goes there has to pay loads of money to go to it every year. And now I'm like, oh, that's a bit of a flex taking me to a private members club. Like, I get it. You're doing well. I think we should just go to like a standard bar.
I think that's kind of awkward. Also, like, is that your thing? Like, is he taking everyone there? In which case, is it then like a different kind of flex of like, look at this rotation of pretty boys I'm bringing in?
Yeah, thank you for calling me pretty.
You are, definitely.
Thank you. I think it was more the fact that he was like, oh, and he was like, have you been here before? And I just said something that I was actually quite proud of. I said, and it is true, I was like, yeah, because they do gigs here and I've done it before. And then I said, they also offered me a membership if I did a gig for them for free. And I said, no, because I'd rather have a night off. And then, so I kind of shat on his membership a little bit.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. You haven't been there before, but you were offered it for free. You didn't even have to pay like he did.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
No, because I'm not here for that. I'm not here for rhetorical questions put on me so the other person can show off.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, when, you know, like, I'm trying to think, I've definitely come across it a lot. One of them I've had is like when people just like, they clearly want to talk about achievements of theirs, but they frame it as like, oh, have you ever been to this place? Or have you ever competed in a sport? Like,
yeah.
Shut up. Just tell me your story.
Yeah. What are the like dating hacks when you go on a date and you're like, oh, this again? This is the end, eh?
See, I don't know if all of my advice is good. It just seems to work for me. So I'm definitely, yeah, keen to continue working at like getting out of things. quickly, like being decisive like that, you know, I think that's a big help. And it kind of helps save off like some of the dating related exhaustion, right? That can cause us to like, you know, give up or not give like nice people a chance because other people have ground us down.
If you go on a date with someone, right, and you know it's not really for you, why would you stay there for 4 hours? I give it an hour normally, apart from like that angry guy. I give it like an hour and a half, and then I go. And that's, an hour is not long, but I think you know, a lot of the times you can know straight away.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes my toxic trait can be giving up on it, but not getting out. And then subverting that into, I'm going to make this a fun experience, even though I know there's nothing for me here. And that just becomes a weird kind of form of performance, which I don't know why. Why would you?
I think as well, because I work most evenings gigging, that like when I get an evening off, I'm like, ooh, I want it to be as good as possible. So if I've been dating someone and it's not a great day, I would rather just end it early and then go home and get a bubble bath.
Yeah, no, that's lovely. Before we start to wrap up, tell me about being naive in relationships, because that's something you've talked about in the past.
Oh, I have. Right. So I don't know. I guess speaking today, I sound like I could be a bit heartless because I like end it when I'm bored or whatever. But I just...
No, but I do. I don't think that. Because to me, it's more terrifying to be sat opposite someone who's bored and yet is still staying out of some form of obligation. That's the nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I do think, I don't know, a lot of my friends take the piss out of me for this. I do believe a little bit in like soulmates, kind of. I just think that I'm just very hopeful. And I do think it's a bit, I don't know if it's naive. I'm just very hopeful that one day I'm going to meet someone and I'll be like, that was what I was waiting for. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And
I believe in that too. I have to.
Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, this is the person that I was waiting for. And I've dated multiple great men who I've dated for long periods of time who could have been, yeah, I could have had a decent relationship with them, but I don't think it would have been like great. And I think they would have been good, but I don't know. There's just always something in the back of my mind where I was like, this isn't the guy I should get married to. And I think because my mum has been divorced a bunch of times, I've always kind of looked at that. I was also born in the 90s, 92, just turned 30. And I think then if you look back at the 90s, it seems like divorce, everyone's parents I know were getting divorced. Like growing up, all, loads of my mates' parents were divorced or getting divorced. So I feel like we're the children of generations where divorce was like what avocados are like now. Like everyone was just all over the trend. Divorces. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's true, though, because I remember like when I was younger, I just would default assume that no one's parents were together.
Because we were all raised in the big divorce time, that now a lot of people our age are just taking a bit longer to settle down because we're trying to not get divorced. Do you know what I mean?
I think that is a solid theory. And I also think it's kind of combined with, you know, us being more aware as a generation, like more introspective in a kind of like therapy, who am I, what do I want, is it the same as what my parents wanted kind of way. I think that's a good thing, but it then does lead to us probably, you know, settling later, but you know, hopefully settling for the right person, you know, maybe what would have been our parents' second marriage.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's better to do it later. And it's crazy. Like, I remember I loved Bridget Jones when I was younger. I absolutely loved it. But when I watched it, I remember as a kid being like, ha, 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 look at this old spinster. But the character was only like 32. And I'm like, oh, no, she was still so young. But the whole thing, if you watch Bridget Jones 1 now, there's a whole scene where there's like a bunch of 30-year-olds and she's at the end of the table and they're like, oh, why are you single, Bridget? And it's like, she's 32, like, back off. Yeah. Like, it doesn't add up well. Like, it doesn't age well now. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I definitely do. And that's a good sign.
Great film.
because I think that was more the accepted mentality at the time, and now we're questioning it more than ever.
Mm. So I am very single, but if the right guy came along, I would absolutely love it. But if he doesn't, till then, I'll be all right. It'll be fine.
Yeah, you've got your gigs. You've got entertainment in the evenings.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm doing stuff.
Booked and blessed. We'll start wrapping up then. Do you have a bit of advice to share, a rule of the game that you think should be employed in dating or relationships?
I think this is, I bet loads of people have said this, so focus on yourself. Make sure you try and work on your career. Get a job that you like. Surround yourself with nice friends so that whilst you're single, you've got a great life. And then when you meet someone, you've met someone you want to be with and you've not got with someone just because you don't want to be on your own.
Love it. Points. That is a great one. And not nearly enough people are living by that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my advice. Like, if I got in a relationship, I don't want to be someone's everything. I don't want someone to need me because I don't need anyone. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't. I want to be with someone because we both, something just happens and we just can't not be together. Do you know what I mean?
I don't want to be with
someone because I don't want to be on my own.
Yeah, I think that's a really important nuance. Like, there's a lot to be gained by, like, being in a, like, happy, healthy, supportive relationship. But it should be via the lens of, like, my life is even better because of them, not there's no way I could live without them. Like, that is a dangerous...
Yeah.
Place to be.
That is, I don't think you should be dating if that's what your mentality is.
Yeah, and obviously, like, it changes, you know, if you have kids or whatever, there's certain, you know, or you have a house together, there's certain things that, that add elements of need.
You're talking the first year, we're talking dates, we're talking the first 12 months. You know
what I mean? But even still, I mean, there is something to, like, hold on to your independence somewhat, because if you do, like, have the whole, you know, married relationship and everything, and then you get divorced, and you realize you can't cook and you don't know how to pay bills, or like you can't adult by yourself, then I think you've gone too far.
Yeah, that's wild.
Because they're out there. Those people are out there. And I would add something kind of going on this and being inspired by your amicable breakup, in that I think that's what I think that's what we should be aiming for.
Yeah, I've spoken about this on stage loads. I lived with a guy, we was together for like two and a half years. We lived together. Everything was great. It was a really healthy relationship. And then we broke up just because it just like, we just did. Like, it was like, it didn't, there was no like a big reason to break up. We kind of did. And then we just had a really lovely breakup. It was actually the first week of lockdown. And we lived together for another 7 months whilst we was broke up. But we remained friends. If he rang me now, I'd still just pick up and talk for hours. So, yeah, that was... I think I was very lucky. A lot of my friends are like, that's the best breakup anyone's ever had.
Love that. I've had one a bit like that. And we also lived together during the pandemic, but we broke up before it.
Yeah.
And did yours remain platonic?
Right, so we shagged twice, but that was just like to scratch the itch because it was 7 months we lived together and it was all of lockdown one. So like there was only two, but the sex wasn't the same. It was honestly like a let's just get this done sort of vibe. But,
the romance had well and
truly the romance was gone a bit, yeah. But we're still good friends.
Well, fair play. That only makes it more impressive to me that you navigated like that additional complexity. So yeah, nice. And on that note, we will wrap up there. If people want to find you online, go see you gig, where should I go?
My Instagram handle is joshyjones92. I can't remember all the others. And if you find me on social media, there's link trees to gigs. I'm not on tour yet, but I'm announcing a tour soon. We've not finished booking it. But I'll be going on until next year.
But it is happening. Nice. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damaged by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.